If you'll please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, we'll be picking up there. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will get you a Bible right away. Please leave them up so they can see if you need a Bible. And like I said, Luke chapter 24. We left off in our last study where we saw Jesus being taken off the cross after he had given up his spirit. Joseph of Arimathea took him and placed him into his own tomb. And certain women, we are told, followed and were observing and helped lay Jesus in that tomb. Then they returned and began to prepare the spices, and then they rested on the Sabbath day. So we pick it up now in chapter 24, verse 1, where it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared." Here we see these beautiful women, that they had come and observed where they laid Jesus. And because of the hour, most likely Joseph did not have any time to do any of the embalming process. So they went away and they begin to prepare the embalming spices. If you recall, the Jews were anxious to get Jesus off of the cross along with the thieves because of the law. They could not be on the cross during that time. So they got Jesus and they placed him in that tomb. The women the next day begin to come back, not the next day, excuse me, when it was on early on the first day of the week, which would be Sunday, came back and were looking to come and finish that job of embalming Jesus. Mark tells us that they were actually wondering how that stone would be removed. Because if you recall, there was a giant stone that was rolled in front of the tomb that would prevent people from going in. And so as they were going, they were talking, how are we going to get the stone removed? And yet they still went, realizing that they physically could not do it themselves, and yet they still felt that God would take care of the matter somehow, some way. You know, I think there can be some tremendous application to this in our life. Because there's times in our lives that we feel that God is calling us to go and to do something, and yet we feel there's great obstacles in the way. Maybe there's a stone that we can't penetrate through. We're wondering, how in the world is this ever going to be removed that I could do this? And yet you still feel that God has called you to do it. The next time that happens in your life, will you remember this? How these ladies had that same feeling? What's and who is going to remove this stone? And when they got there, the stone was removed. Why is that? Simple. God is in the business of removing stones from our life when he calls us to do things. If he calls you to do something, no matter how many obstacles appear that could be there, if God wants you to do it, he'll remove it. And so don't focus on that. Focus on the Lord and watch him fulfill removing those obstacles and those stones. Now, as we see the girls approaching, there's been a lot of controversy on, well, maybe Jesus didn't die on Friday. You know, it was 3 days, and so maybe he died on Thursday. Well, it's not that big of an issue. The biggest issue is Jesus died because he loved you and he paid for your sins. Even the bigger issue is that he rose from the dead. But if we want to look at it as 3 days, counting it on Friday, it's not a hard formula to follow after. For we see that the Jewish calendar on their day, it started at sunset, not at sunrise in some cultures. Theirs started at sunset. We recognized last week that Jesus died on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so that's still on Friday. They took him off and they got him into the tomb before 6 o'clock, which would be the beginning of Sabbath. Sabbath would go from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. That would be all day Saturday. And then Sunday would be the third day. So you could see that. He died on a Friday. Sabbath was on Saturday. Here the ladies are coming on Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you can look at it in that way. But the bottom line is there's things that you can debate about, and there's things that really don't matter. He died 3 days. We know where he was at, in the center of the earth, proclaiming to set the captives free. He did that, and he raised from the dead. Why focus on the hours? Let's focus on the resurrection and what that teaches us, that we have victory in our life. And so here they are. They're coming. It's early in the morning, and I love that. All four Gospels declare that they went out early in the morning. King David, a man after God's own heart, declares in Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek ye. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. And I think that is true, that those who seek the Lord early, early in life, early in every situation, early in the morning. And when I say early in the morning, I mean when your day starts, because I know a lot of you guys are on swing shifts and your day may start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's your morning, okay? The point is early when your day starts. Each day, if we seek him early, there is that promise that we will find him. And there is nothing better than to hear the voice of God. Amen? This last week, I had some perplexing situation in my heart. And I got up early, and I went into the kitchen. Now, I know what I'm about to tell you. You may think I'm blaspheming. But I got a cup of coffee from the pot of coffee made the day before. Unclean. I stuck it in the microwave, heated it up for a minute and a half, sat down at the island, opened up the Word, drank my day-old coffee, which is blasphemy to some of you, I know. And I just said, Father, speak to me. Just speak to me. And as I began to read through the scriptures, all of a sudden the Lord began to speak to me on this particular matter. I jumped up and I got a piece of paper and a pencil, and I began to write it down. And as I continued to write, then more answers came, and I wrote this verse down and what it meant to the matter. And then over here, there was another one I wrote down as I continued to read. And it was just like a little mini Bible study that God gave me because I sought him early in this situation. And now when I have my answer, it's not something that I just figured out logically or, you know, whatever. It was right out of the Word of God, chapter and verse. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to the Lord early in situations, early in the day, whenever it starts for you, and say, Father, speak to me. If you do your devotions and you say, okay, check mark, that's not a devotion. That's a goal being accomplished. A devotion is to sit there and give your devotion to the living God. Now, I encourage you to do that. It's important that we do that. And if you have not established in your life the discipline of seeking the Lord early, or maybe you have had it established, and like all of us, we get out of our habits at times, I encourage you to reestablish that discipline in your life, that the first fruits of your life, and it's not just talking about money, because whenever you hear first fruits, it's, oh, okay, yeah, we need to tithe. And that's true. We need to tithe. That's how we develop and mature in Christ. But also our first fruit is of our life, of our time, of our day, that we should give that to the Lord. And we should really make him first. Because the scripture says, those that seek me will find me early. Now, it's important that we do that when it's early. And the reason for that is that so often in life, We think that, okay, I'm missing it just right now, but I'll get to it later on in the day. Well, things get busy during the day. Things take place that you're not able to get back to it. Some people say, oh, I have such a sweet time with the Lord as I'm driving to work. I spend that whole time in prayer. Just me and the Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. You're so good. What a blessing you are. Make me more like, hey, watch out, you jerk. Who taught you how to drive? A taxi cab driver from Lebanon? Bless your holy name. Let me represent you all day long. Don't tell me you haven't done something like that. And you call that your devotion time? That's distraction. You know, the disciples used to go about doing all kinds of things. They didn't have to dodge semi-trucks and cars and motorcycles. They walked. And maybe you can pray while you're walking, but even now walking today, you got to keep your eyes open, not physically, but you should do that too. But you have to keep your eyes open for all the things that are coming around. How many people do you see going out with walks with sticks in their hand? You think that's a cane? That's a beating stick to keep animals away from them, or predators, human or animals. There's way too much distraction. Find a nice place, a place that there will be no distractions. And when you do, you're going to be able to hear the voice of God. Let me illustrate this with a little story. There was a family gathering, and everyone was there, from grandpa all the way down to all the grandkids. And all of a sudden, grandpa noticed that he misplaced or lost his pocket watch. It was very rare to him. And so he gathered all the grandkids there. There was about 10 of them. And he says, I've lost my watch, and if whoever finds it, I'll give them $25. And all the grandkids went running around the house and outside and noise and screaming and running, except little Bobby, 6-year-old, just sat there with grandpa. Never got up. About an hour later, the sun was about to set. All the kids came in, they couldn't find it, and they just said, okay, we'll look tomorrow. Well, the next morning, when all the kids came in, they were sitting around the table to have breakfast, and little Bobby walks in, and he walks over to Grandpa and goes, here's your watch, Grandpa. And all the other guys were bummed out. Bobby? That squirt, how did he do that? He's going to get the $25. We wanted that money. And Grandpa just looked at him and said, well, Bobby, how did you find that? He said, oh, Grandpa, it was so easy. Yesterday, you know, all of my cousins and brothers, they were running around yelling and everything, and I just got up at 5:30 this morning when they weren't out yelling and running around, and I just listened for the ticking. And when I heard it, I walked over and I picked it up, and here's your watch. I think there's some wisdom in that little guy. There's some timely advice there for us. You get up in the morning without distractions, guess what? You're going to hear the ticking of God's voice in your heart. And how wonderful, wonderful that will be. Make sure that you set that time aside whenever your day starts, early in situations, early in circumstances, to where you can hear the voice of God on how to handle those particular moments. So these women came early. They were blessed. They found a great discovery, as we see here in verse 2. It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, raise again. Now, did you notice that it says that these two men in the tomb, they shined, But we recognize that in the other Gospels, they are identified as angels. You know, this gives us some real insight about angels. For the Scripture declares, we see it here, and we see it in other places in Scripture, and even the Scripture itself in Hebrews 13:2 tells us that we should not neglect to entertain strangers, for sometimes we entertain strangers that are angels unawares. The Bible shows us that angels can actually appear in the shape and the form of a man or in a woman, and that they don't look like the angelic beings that we think with the wings and all of those things going on. And so it's important that we realize that there is a spiritual realm out there. And that it's going to be interesting, I think, that when we get to heaven, if the Lord allows us to see back in our life in this manner, how many times we had encounters with spiritual beings, many times with angels, and never, ever realizing it. As a baby Christian, I had something happen to me, a group of people that I was hanging out with. There was this little boy, he was about 12 years old. He would be classified as feeble-minded. He wasn't all there, just a simple kid. Not, you know, he just wasn't mentally developed. And he would love to come to church. And one day we were watching him as, you know, we were in church, and he was just going like this and this biggest smile on his face. And he would look all up around the top of the church, and there was these windows and a little shelf and stuff. And he'd just be looking and smiling and looking and smiling. And after church, we asked him, what were you looking at? Why were you smiling so big? He goes, I was just looking at all the angels that were up there just sitting and watching us. They were really cool. And I think the Lord took that little simple mind and pulled back his eyes, and he saw these angels that were just there watching over us. I believe they're around us all the time. We just don't see them. And so we realize that there is spiritual beings and that we can have encounters with them. And one of the things that I think that we need to realize is something that the angels told those ladies that we need to remember in our life. For the angel says, why are you seeking him, that's Jesus, the living amongst the dead? They are proclaiming that Jesus is alive. And why are you here seeking him in the dead? I think sometimes we as Christians don't even remember or even acknowledge that Jesus is alive. We see him on the cross in his dead form so often that people don't realize that he raised from the dead and that he's alive today. I think some people are missing the mark and missing out on so much that are available to us because they don't grab hold of that concept. And I think in their lives, practically, they're not seeking the answers amongst the living, amongst God's wisdom, but they're seeking it in dead areas. Let me give you an example. I'm not picking on a group, but I'm going to give this example, single people. Sometimes single people, they want to get married to a Christian, to a believer. And yet they'll go, as a Christian, into bars looking for a mate. Or they'll go onto chat rooms, thinking that they'll find a person in a chat room. Or they'll go on these dating services, even supposedly Christian dating services, to try to find their soulmate. I need to caution you on that, because on these dating services, oh, you may answer your form exactly truthfully, but I have known even Christians who fill those forms out and they don't fill them out honestly. In the spiritual realm, they'll fill them out in maybe what they would like to think they are or what they want to be someday, but that's not who they are today. And they live in that facade in the process, and they come together, they get married, and they're just miserable because they did not truthfully reveal who they were. That's seeking the living amongst the dead. So how do we do it if I'm single? Can I make a suggestion? Yes. First, thank you, Carly. You know, the scripture talks about how they were sitting hanging on every word. I know Coralie was hanging on that word right there. Well, first of all, you need to pray to see if the Lord wants you married or not, okay? I did that. And I felt the Lord said, yes, you're going to be married. So I made the mistake. I started looking in every way I could. Now, I know some of you have heard this before, but we have so many new people here. Constantly new people. I'm blessed by what God's doing. So I got a whole new audience so I can tell my story again. And Coralie, you won't mind if I tell it again, right? Okay. So I started looking and doing weird things, and I'm being honest and transparent here. One night or one morning on a Sunday morning, I said, okay, Lord, this is the deal. It's like I'm making a deal with God. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sit in that pew before anyone gets there, and the person who comes and sits next to me, that's going to be my bride. This is the truth. I got there early before anyone else, and I sat in that pew, and I just closed my eyes, and I started praying, and the church started filling up. Oh, Lord, just, you know, have the right person sit there. I know it's, oh, and I hear some people coming down, and I feel somebody sit next to me. Oh, and my heart is just, Okay, here we go, Lord. This is it. This is it. Give me wisdom on what to say now, too. Help me, help me. And I slowly move my head and open my eyes, and oh, this gorgeous blonde hair was right next to me. Long and wavy and a beard to match. True story. So I just sat there and started to laugh inside me, and I said, what do you want me to do then, Lord? And the Lord showed me, he spoke to me, he says, well, you think that the person you're going to marry is alive? I go, well, yeah. He said, well, why don't you pray for them as if they're your wife already? And so I began to pray that if the person's alive, one, they would get saved. Two, that if they, you know, if they were saved, that they would have a wonderful time in devotion that day. That any temptations that they would be experiencing that day, they would not yield to temptation. You would cover them, you would protect them, you would bless them, you would groom them, you would cause them to grow in such a way that when I met them, that I would be compatible to them and they would be compatible to me, that they would, you know, their hearts would be prepared. And, you know, I prayed that way faithfully, and I stopped looking. And when I stopped looking and I just focused on seeking the living God and praying for my future wife, because I knew I would be married one day without knowing who it would be, it took all the stress off of my life, and I was able just to enjoy being a single person. And I'm afraid that too many single people today are so stressed about being married that they don't enjoy being single. And you're going to miss out on that. When I met Marcy, I knew within 3 days that she was the one. I asked her to marry me within a month, and within 3 months we were married, and if my kids do that, I'll shoot them. They need to wait at least 4 months, you know what I mean. But what I'm saying is, put it in the Lord's hands. Seek the living for this, don't seek the dead. Trust the Lord, and you can apply that to all aspects of your life. And I love what the angel said to them. Don't you remember that Jesus said to you guys, he will raise from the dead in 3 days. And we pick that up in verse 8, where it says, and they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all the things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. Now, in the Gospel of John, he fills in some really sweet details. And I want to bounce over there. If you'll turn over there to John chapter 20, I want to take a look at verses 11 through 18. It fills in some nice details on the encounter that Jesus had with Mary. So in verse 11 of John chapter 20, it says, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down, and she looked into the tomb, and she saw the two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laying. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to the brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God.' And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken unto her." So we see that Mary is weeping, and all of a sudden she, you know, is wondering what's taking place. She's just talked to the angels, and then all of a sudden she turns and she sees this man, and she just thinks it's the gardener, and she just, "Where's my Jesus?" And finally Jesus said, "Mary." Now, it had to be a way that Jesus had spoken to her before, that special way. Whether it was just a loving way, you know, "Mary," and she knew that infliction, that special, special tone. Maybe you guys have known when your mother has talked to you and wanted to get your attention, and it was, you know, serious, focus. It used to be, when my mom would do that, it would be, "Peter Anthony." "Yes, Mama." "My dad?" "Hey, lame brain." I knew I was in deep trouble. But I think Jesus was just a tender, tender Mary. And she had heard that tenderness before. And she turned around, and obviously she grabbed hold of his feet and began to cling. And Jesus said, "Oh, don't do that, but go and tell the others." Now, it's a good thing to remember, and that we should draw close to God. It's essential that in our Christian experience that we do draw close. We talked about that in devotion. But we must also remember that our Christian faith needs to be shared. That's so important. And Jesus says, don't keep this newfound discovery to yourself. Share it. Go and tell others. And we need to do the same thing today. It's important that we enjoy the reality of the resurrection. The fact that our sins have all been forgiven, that we can enjoy fellowship with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, that's all great. It's wonderful. It's necessity. We need to do that, but we have to take it the next step and share with others. Jesus never told the apostles to form a holy huddle club, that they just stick together and don't go out beyond themselves. But he wanted, and he told them, to go into all the world to proclaim the gospel that Jesus Christ has risen. Now, there's people who seem at times that all they have a tendency to do is they just want to study the word, or to gain all of this head knowledge that they have and contemplate these great, deep theological principles in God's word, or just what God has done in their life, share insights with a small little group of people. Those things are important to do. I enjoy them tremendously, conversations such as that and sharing. But we need to also do what Jesus told Mary and what he told the apostles. We need to go out and share about the risen Lord. Because if not, you know what we are? We're nothing but an example of the Dead Sea. The River Jordan, full of life and health and vigor, flows into the Dead Sea, and because it has no outlet, it stagnates, and nothing can live in it. And many Christians are that way. They want more and more and more for them, but they're not willing to give out. And as a result, what takes place is they end up dying inside because they have not that flow to give out. And it's so important that we do. And sometimes, unfortunately, Christians will develop a mentality, oh, other people are so gifted, but not me. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know that Jesus has risen from the dead? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that you're forgiven? Then simply you can be used. It's that simple. There is no great qualification that allows one person to be more qualified to represent Jesus than others. I learned that early. I learned that what the scripture said I was, and I held it, and I stepped out in it. And what was that? The scripture I learned early says that God loves to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You don't need amen so hard. But I believe that verse. And I just said, Lord, if you're going to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, here I am. Use me. And then at that point, all I needed to do was say, Lord, open doors for me, and I'll step through. I never knew I would end up in El Centro. I thought I'd end up at the beach. It was close, a lot of sand, no water, so it was close. But I wouldn't have traded my life for anything. Nothing. There is nothing that anybody could offer me that I would trade my life for. And over the years, we've had opportunities to move and to go and to pastor other churches. And God said, no, this is where I've planted you. And this is where I want you to stay. And it's been a blessing to be a foolish person and say, use me. And to see the great things that God has done in your lives by just being willing to say, okay. That's the qualification. That's all we need. We need that healthy balance of drawing close to God and also letting it go back and giving the good news out to other people. Let's go back to Luke chapter 24 and finish it off in our last couple verses where it says, and then these words seem like idle tales. In other words, the words that the women told the disciples or the apostles, and they did not believe them. Verse 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves, and he departed marveling to himself at what had just happened. The apostles did not believe these women. The apostles thought that they were idle words. Idle words in the Greek literally means babbling that comes from a fever. Have you ever been around somebody that has a fever and they're just babbling? It makes no sense at all. Or babbling that comes from an insane mind. That's what that word means. And so what did they do? They thought it was idle words. In other words, they're saying, these women are crazy. They're nuts. Except Peter. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. I love that at Ralph Peter right now. He says, I've got to go see this for myself. He may have denied Jesus just a few days before. He may have failed him and cried over his failing, but he didn't let his failure hold him back from running to see if Jesus had been raised from the dead. I think Peter wanted to get back in the game. Yeah, he failed at other times too, later on, but I think Peter wanted to get back in the game. And I believe the Lord must have been well pleased at Peter right here. Peter was putting his failure behind him, and he wanted to draw near to the Lord once again. And my prayer in closing is that in our life, that regardless of our failures, regardless of whatever's gone on in our lives, that we will not let that hinder us from drawing close to God. That we won't think that we're so bad that God's thrown us away, but that we'll think that God is so good that he has washed us and cleansed us. And just as we come running back to him, we would please the Father and fulfill Revelation 4:11 that declares that we were created to bring him pleasure. So in closing, please do not let anything hold you back from drawing to the Lord. I don't care if you think that you're not worthy for salvation. You are worthy of salvation not because of anything that you have ever done, but everything that Jesus did. And all you have to do is ask him to forgive you. The scripture says that he loved us when we were yet sinners. Can you imagine how much more he loves us when we surrender our heart to him? Or if you're a Christian and you failed, maybe this week you've done something horrible. You can't even tell anybody about it. It's just that horrible in your mind. And you think God's throwing you to the curb. God has no curb. He'll never throw you to the curb. He'll never throw you under the bus because he loves you and he died for your sins and he knew that you would do this. Anything that you think that will keep you away from God, take joy that our Savior died for your failures, our Savior died for our sins, and he raised from the dead to prove that he was able to accomplish all of that on the cross. And the one thing he desires for you today is to have that relationship with him. May I encourage you to run to him today, embrace him, let him love you, but then go out and tell other people about what God has done for your life. And then you will be a full-rounded, completed Christian who's embracing the Lord and sharing the good news with those that God brings to you. What a wonderful God we serve, amen? Amen. Let's pray.